Our reading for today is from Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was, and is not, and is to come.' This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings, who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour, together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, 'The waters that you saw, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth.'" Chapter 17 introduces this section here, talking about the great prostitute seated on many waters. I think this metaphor is related to Jeremiah's description of ancient Babylon in Jeremiah 51 and verse 13, that said, "O thou that dwell upon many waters." That description is furthered in verse 5, when it says that this was Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots, mother of the prostitutes, and of the abominations of the earth. And then verse 18, this great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. It's not uncommon to have this kind of a description associated with an empire or a city. In the Old Testament, that was used from time to time. Nineveh is described as full of lies and described also as the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts. That is from Nahum chapter 3. And of course, a number of prophets under the Old Testament had accused Israel and Judah of playing the harlot and committing spiritual adultery against God. In this section, it's quite likely that this is referring to Rome, and that would help us with verse 2, talking about the kings of the earth committing fornication. And so there's other kings that acquiesce to Rome and would do Rome's bidding and would promote the ideals that Rome would have. And Rome was full of lust and seduction within, along with corruption within its government. Then verse 3, he mentions this woman that's sitting upon this scarlet beast. And we can see some similarity with the beast that came up out of the sea, looking back to chapter 13 and verse 1. Each has seven heads and ten horns, though they are mentioned in a reverse order here. Each one has the names of these blasphemies. There's probably some significance to the color here, the scarlet, since bright colors were reserved for those that were wealthy and those that were in power during this time. And so scarlet would have been seen as something associated with luxury, with splendor. It would have been distinctive. And I think we can also look to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, where it states that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So the scarlet color associated with sin would be opposite to the white of righteousness and purity as well. So verse 4 carries on this idea of the luxury associated with it. It says that she's arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup. So she has adorned herself in such a way to make herself stand out, to make herself look attractive, to attract attention. Even the cup itself, this golden cup, would be another symbol of luxury or of wealth. But what does it say is inside it? It says it's full of abominations, these unclean things, because of her sexual immorality. Verse 5, her forehead was written the name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. So what she is, who she is announced. That she is the mother of prostitutes and the mother of earth's abominations, the source of them. The sin that she's engaged in and entices others to engage in results then in verse 6 that in her being drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. You know, those sinful desires had gotten to a feverish pitch to the point that it says that she began to seek out the blood of the saints, or to kill them, to persecute them even to death. Verse 7, the angel says, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. But the language that comes after this is a little strange, and I'll try to go through this with you. But if somebody says, I'm going to explain something to me, then, you know, I want it broken down into really small segments, especially if it's something I completely don't understand. I need it dumbed down, if you will. But the language here is a little bit strange, so we'll try to handle it in a way that will take some of that obfuscation out of it. So this statement in verse 8, the beast you saw was, and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And that seems confusing, but I think what he's referring to here is the line of emperors that would arise within the empire to do these terrible things to the saints, and then would get disposed of or would be removed, and then another takes their place. So there's always an emperor, but there's not necessarily the same person as that emperor. But keep in mind that all that goes back to the dragon as well, which is Satan. Okay, so verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also 7 kings, 5 of whom have fallen. 1 is, the other is not yet to come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an 8th, but it belongs to the 7, and it goes to destruction. If you've studied any Roman literature, some poetry from that time period, there are many mentions of the 7 hills that border the Tiber on which Rome had been built. And so they used that as a theme from time to time. So while we can take that as a reference to Rome, we can also realize that there is a symbolic meaning here as well, because he says, and they are 7 kings. Now, regarding this statement that 5 are fallen, 1 is, and 1 is not yet come, the most popular interpretation of this is that it was referring to specific Roman emperors, 5 of which had already come and gone, one that was then on the throne, and another that had not yet taken the throne. Now, in reality, when you start researching these verses, you find that there's actually several views that try to explain what this is. Again, I mentioned that was probably the most popular, but even amongst that, then there are differences based on what emperors were being mentioned. So I don't want to delve deep into that because that would defeat the purpose for our readings, but just know that these are some of the more difficult passages within the book of Revelation to try to make an identification with. Verse 12 says that the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. They are of one mind, they hand over their power and authority over to the beast, and they will make war on the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful. Again, we have a symbolic reference here, a symbolic number being used, 10 being a number that represents power. But this idea of having not received a kingdom yet is just talking about a future situation. But since they received their power or their authority with the beast, then it's possible that these are the kings who were to be gathered together to the war called by the spirits of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Thinking back to chapter 16. It may also be looked at as completely symbolic and be representing any future powers that are aligned with the beast itself. I think verse 14, though, is really the important one. They will make war on the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them. And that's our theme looking at the book of Revelation. The Lamb will be victorious. That's what we need to keep our vision affixed on. Then we get to verse 15. The angel says, "The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. The 10 horns, they and the beast, will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate, naked, devour her flesh, burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose." This is likely another reference to Rome, in which they had all sorts of nationalities and peoples under their authority. And one of the difficulties that the Roman Empire had was bringing in those nationalities and getting them to integrate into the Roman Empire, because as we know, ethnicity and nationality and things can vary in spectacular ways from one region to another, and to try to get them to come together and be Romans really was the difficult task. The reality is that Rome could go out and conquer these places, but it was very difficult to take somebody you conquered and then have them proudly say, "We're under Rome, we're Romans." The difficulty of citizenship and the idea of being subjugated forcefully made it so that these people didn't desire to be under Rome's control in this way. They only went to it because Rome was just more powerful. Verse 16, talking about hating the prostitute after they've already been with her, the point is that they're going to come a time in which these other powers or kings are going to hate their association with the prostitute or with Rome, and then that was going to begin a process of leaving the prostitute desolate, naked, and devouring her flesh, burning her up with fire, destroying her, in other words. But verse 17 says, God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose. And so then, another instance of God using evil power in this world to accomplish his purpose. We saw that with Babylon under the Old Testament, and you're seeing it here being described as well. That concludes our reading for chapter 17. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all, and come back for another reading where we'll get into chapter 18.